Well, turn, if you will, in your book of Psalms to Psalm 131. One of the shorter psalms that we'll be looking at in these Psalms of Ascent. Just three verses this evening. Psalm 131. Hear again God's word. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Well, as I mentioned, we're looking at these Psalms of Ascent, and they lay out for us a pilgrim's journey. We've looked at the beginning of these Psalms of Ascent as they attested to the sense of oppression that the psalmist had felt as he resided outside of Jerusalem and where those around him were regularly scorning the word of God, disregarding it, and how in that hostile environment, the desire of his heart was to be in Jerusalem, to gather with God's people and to be able in obedience to God's command to worship him. And you recall that then in Psalm 121, we saw some of the apprehension as he contemplated what it really would take in order to facilitate that desire of his heart. To be in Jerusalem would require danger, as he would journey by foot to that city of David. And there, he cried out to God both for protection, and he recalled God's many promises and recalled how God, throughout the history of his people, had been pleased to protect them on the road. And then you remember we got to Jerusalem. And with great enthusiasm, he climbed those last hundreds of feet to enter into that city on the hill and to see the strength of its walls. And to have a sense of security in that city that was built to be easily defended. And yet we see that that didn't cure all of his concerns. We see that while he was there, he encountered oppression and mockery. He was subject to rulers who did not honor the word of God. And yet, even in that, he recalled the promises of God, and there he found his comfort. And his experience in Jerusalem wasn't unique to himself. There were psalms that we investigated and read and studied together that were psalms of the entire congregation, which demonstrated that God's assembled people could see the hypocrisy of those who were called to lead but weren't leading in a fashion that was honoring to God. And now as we are beginning to approach the end of these Psalms of Ascent, we are beginning to see the effect of these things upon the psalmist. The psalmist who has been encouraged to rest upon God, to find his comfort in God, here we see demonstrates what we'll be looking at first is heavenly humility. Heavenly humility. Secondly, we'll be looking at this idea of being content in our Father's embrace. And lastly, our hope in the Lord. And so the psalmist begins at the very outset. He says, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. We see an evidence here of the transformative power of God's work within the heart of this man of God. You see, in his sin, this would not have been the case. He could not have said, my heart is not lifted up or my eyes are not raised too high. Because in our sin, we tend to be filled with pride. We are anything but humble. For even the good that we would do in this life often has as its goal the praise of those around us, to impress those near us. It isn't to give glory to God. And here the psalmist, as he has traveled those many miles and been protected by the Lord, has had the opportunity to come into the city of God and to engage in worshiping with his brothers and sisters. He's reminded that all of these things are due to the kindness, the mercy, the grace of God being shown to him. And rather than be puffed up, we see that he here is humble. You see, the psalmist is aware of his place in relation to that one who is far greater. Rather than himself, and as we did as well in our sin, aspire ourselves to be gods or to assume the position of God, here we see that the worshiper of God sees himself as a creature, as one created by God, and thus knowing he is the creator. We also see that he knows his relationship to God. He says, my eyes are not raised too high. You have here explained or put before you the picture of a servant before his master. Not looking into the eyes of God, but rather his head is downturned. Not out of terrible fear of God, but rather out of an awareness of God as his master and Lord, whom he willingly delights to serve. Probably one of the most difficult things that we face in this life is a sense of being out of control. We all want to be in control, don't we? And yet we see here in the first verse that the psalmist understands that he is not in control. He says, I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. He understands the nature of his being a finite creature of God, limited in his capability to know and understand and to see and to rightly discern. And when we wrestle with this idea of control, that can be unsettling to us. But to one who has experienced the grace of God and his mercy and his care already expressed, or who is mindful of God's faithfulness throughout the history of his people, he erases that fear of not being in control. Why? Because he allows us the capability of seeing all of those times where we thought we were in control and where we prided ourselves in our ability to take control of situations and failed miserably. And he's allowed us to become more suspect of our personal abilities and strength and power and wisdom, and instead find our comfort in him. And so he doesn't occupy himself with things that are too great, but rather he contents himself as a mere servant to be in the presence of his Creator. Then he moves on to this matter of being content or calm or at rest. In verse 2, "But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me." Many of you have probably been around little children, around that age, 1.5, 2, 2.5, where little children will go through a stage where they're easily frightened of any other adult than their parents. And someone comes on the scene and walks and approaches them, and they flee to the skirts or to the jean leg or the leg of their parent, and they hold up their hands and they want to be held. And you've probably witnessed the transformation that occurs within that child once they're picked up and held by their parent. That one who was so terrified of the stranger, then in the safety and security of the arms of mom or dad, now has that inquisitiveness and eagerness to know a little bit better that one who originally caused them fear. Well, the same is true of us with our Heavenly Father as well. As we have experienced His care for us, His love, as we have seen His faithfulness on display, as He has taken into His hands those trials and tribulations that have confronted us, we find no place that we are more at ease and at peace than with Him. That's why in our difficulties now, as we grow in our understanding and maturity in the faith, we flee to God in prayer. We pick up His Word and read His Word that we might hear His voice and gain from the wisdom which He has been pleased to preserve for us an idea as to how this situation may be remedied, or if it is not to be remedied, how we can be content in His control even in the midst of this difficulty. You see, the proud are not so. The proud don't take this posture, but rather we see amongst the proud, the unregenerate, instead of having this type of calm and instead of giving themselves to the Lord's care, instead they have a tendency to jostle and vie for their own position by their own strength and wisdom and their own connivings. And they know no peace. Try and try and try again, but they are accompanied by failure after failure. Those hard-hearted ones produce no fruit, merely weeds. And yet those in Christ have hearts which the Lord has been pleased to till and to tend, and which by the work of His hand are able to yield abundantly. What are the fruits that we see in the heart of the man, woman, or child of God as we see it here in Psalm 131? But we see that with a knowledge of God, with a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, God is pleased to give to His people peace. You know, it's one of the things the world can't figure out why the church, in the midst of this pandemic, isn't in despair. It's because God has been pleased to give us peace. What is our peace? Our peace is that we understand this life isn't it. There's something far greater that our hearts are hung upon. There is something far more lasting that we desire. And that is an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been instructed by God that we are but mere sojourners. And that the difficulties that we face in this life are fleeting and will pass. But what is to come for those who trust in Him will not pass, but is forevermore. It is something that we can be confident of. And so in addition to peace, the man, woman, or child of God enjoys contentment. Confident in what God has done. Content in His loving care. In the knowledge of what He was prepared and did for the sake of His people by providing His Son and our Savior, we then can content ourselves in His most capable hands. And then they're described as quiet and assured. We're described here as that child who is quieted. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, is my soul within me. The Lord, by His wonderful work in Christ, affords to those who call upon His name a quieted spirit. We looked this morning at the difficulties and the damage that is done by those who are directed and focused upon the fulfillment of their own desires and passions, and how that leads to fights and quarrels, even among the people of God. And yet here we're looking at the psalmist who has so transparently laid out his heart before us through these psalms, that we have seen both the difficulties and the fears, the oppression that once confronted him. And yet, in the midst of that, we don't have here a description that the leadership of Jerusalem has changed and that things have gotten better and that the mockery of the law of God is no longer happening. But rather, we have him testifying to the calm and the contentedness and the peace that he has found within the embrace of God. And that gives him a quietness, a quieted spirit. And for the psalmist, there's nothing greater that he could hope for. You see, he had looked with great anticipation at the prospect of going to Jerusalem and worshiping with God's people. And the desires of his heart have been met through exercising and being obedient to the command of God and going to Jerusalem and there worshiping God, not because of the environment that he found, but rather because of the God whom he has worshiped and who has been pleased to speak to him and shape and mold him. And we see that the result of this is that the psalmist cries out for those around him to place their hope in the Lord. He ends by seeking to proclaim the goodness of God to Israel, that they too might know this same peace and contentedness, that their spirits may be calmed. O Israel, hope in the Lord. O Israel, it won't be the walls of Jerusalem. It isn't the fact that we sit upon this hill. It isn't even the presence of the temple in this place. Hope in the Lord, for He will never disappoint. He will never fail you. He will never abandon those who are His. This serves as a good reminder for us in the midst of this present struggle. Our list this morning for our prayer time was getting pretty lengthy as we prayed for those whom we know that have been affected by this virus. It's important for us to recall, even now, the faithfulness of God, His continued presence with those who call upon His name. And if you're lacking this confidence, as we've been invited now three times within the book of James, ask, call upon His name. Ask Him to remove these worries and anxieties, that in their place He would be pleased to give us confidence, hope, peace, quiet, and assurance. Let's look to God in prayer. Almighty God, we do thank You for this little psalm. How easy it is, Lord, even in our society, which is so individualistic, where the idea of pulling ourselves up by the bootstraps is so commonly thought. And Lord, for reminding us, just like a little child, how dependent we are upon You. How our confidence is not to be found in anything else, but in our great Heavenly Father. And Lord, we thank You even for these opportunities as we gather together and we worship You together, which You have supplied for us, a foretaste of heaven, which serve to remind us of Your continued concern and care, where we hear testimony of Your love and provision for Your people, and where our souls are quieted, where our minds are put at ease. As we recall that this truly is not our home, but we, like the pilgrim, are merely on a journey. That through Christ, in Him alone, ultimately takes us to the gates of the celestial city, where You have prepared a table, a great feast, and a mansion of many rooms, where we might dwell with You forevermore. Lord, as we go forth from this place, as our daily routines begin again, Lord, may we keep our focus upon You. And Lord, may we, like the psalmist, cry out to all those, first our brothers and sisters here, and then as we are given opportunity by You, to call upon men, women, and children to put their hope in the Lord, to call on Your name, to seek Your face. For Lord, it is the desire of our heart that they would truly know You, and that they would enjoy the hope that is ours in Christ. Do these things, Lord, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand, please.